You liked your team's attitude on the bench last game. Do you like what you're seeing from them heading into this game?
Yeah, so we monitor it and talk about it and make sure it's there. And there's going to come a day where I'm not yelling more than everybody else on the ice. I'm waiting for that day to happen.
As a coach, is there something that you can do to keep the momentum that you had last game pushing forward? Or is that, like you said,
talk about all the things that we liked, the reasons we believe that they took place, and prepare to do them again against a different looking offensive unit. So reinforcement of whether even it's basic systems, but for me, as much it was, there was an attitude involved in our preparation. Focused on that quite a bit right now.
Coach, how long do you think you can go without a power play goal, and when are you going to start to lose patience with that?
Well, we're going to keep, so the answer, I guess the question, the other question is, when you lose patience with it, what does it look like? What does that manifest into? You lose your mind in the room and you put guys out there who've never been on the power play, we're not there yet. Maybe a little bit on the first one, but no, I just keep working on it. We change now some of the structure, not so much, but the personnel in terms of the roles, what we're asking them to do. I would still say that I'm sticking to the cliche that we like some of the chances we're getting. I believe that when we get to the point where we're not getting into the zone or we're not getting control time, then I'll be honest with you and say we've got nothing going on it. We are going to have to score more power play goals over the course of the year. I will tell you that statistically, regular season power play is not a good indicator of playoff success, even though it changes in playoffs. But I think your last five Stanley Cup champions ranked on average 20th in power play. So it doesn't, but we need it in terms of bolstering that offense and confidence that goes with your top end players getting enough on the power play to buy them time to be patient in their 5-on-5 game. They're not scoring on the power play, then there is a 10, and there is pressure on our offensive players to score. It's part of their salary, it's part of their position in ice time, it's part of us winning. So there is a pressure there. And if it's not coming on the 5-on-4, a lot of times you see the cheat come into the 5-on-5 game, and we just can't have that. We can't survive that. So it is important.
Paul, how much time do you spend right now with this team focusing on Tampa Bay or Carolina, or do you just focus on your team and what you want to do?
No, because this is kind of new. I think maybe this year I've seen it more. You're starting to see different systems come in. Not so much the forechecks and the D zones, but the neutral zones are starting to change around the league a little bit. So there has to be a little bit more prep work done. I would say we change it as you get further in, and then a lot of your pre-scout starts to become redundant in the middle of the year. This is a 1-2-2 forecheck. They've seen it 3,000 times. We'll get away from that. We'll just talk about it, one clip of it. But early on, a little more in depth.
Two things. I guess the first one was just you talked about neutral zones changing around the league. Is it just variations of the same thing, people trying to clog up the neutral zone and make sure you don't get in there and with speed?
Nine of the top 10 teams last year, or eight of the top 10, ran a version of a trap, a 1-2-2. Nobody just says trap anymore. Right. It's always been a 1-2-2 versions of it. It's more aggressive now on the change of sides. When puck changes sides, they're more aggressive with what they do. And then there's a more of a 2-3 or a 1-1-3 that we're starting to see come into the game a little bit more. Forces more dump pucks, believe it or not. So we're starting to see that come in more.
So the focus on possession, you want teams dumping it instead of
right. So what's happened to cause this? Going back a couple of years ago, two of the better defensive teams that weren't necessarily more talented than other teams ran a certain neutral zone. People start swiping versions of it, and then the analytics, I would say, gets out. Mm-hmm. That people are running, and zone entries become a popular thing. And first thing you want to do to stop a zone entry is have all three lanes filled. So I think that's why you're starting to see it.
Right. Okay. The other thing I was going to ask is you were talking about wanting your team to be more communicative amongst itself and guys being in the game by discussing what they see and what's happening. Brian Little was just saying in the dressing room that he finds that while most teams have a range of personalities and a range of talkers, that this group can be pretty quiet. Is it important that they actually physically are talking a lot, or just that they talk amongst themselves in their own way? Because it's tough to change personalities, right?
Right. So I believe it is important that they talk. And I think it's a bigger function of youth. You have older players that are established in their game will say one or two things, and they say, well, you know, he doesn't. Just go back, and you've seen all the interviews with Joe Sakic and Steve Yzerman or whoever the great leader was. Didn't say very much. He was a quiet leader, but whenever he said something, people listened, right? So you're not taking those guys out of their personality. But there's a whole group of guys in there that maybe, well, certainly aren't in that range, that wait, right? They wait till they're older, or they wait till they're more established, and then they learn from the people around them. Then we don't need to wait. We don't need to do that. We need to become connected as a group.
And so you're kind of giving everyone the green light to be a part of it, because I know in hockey, at least old school hockey, there's a bit of a culture of who are you to talk in the room,
right?
Right. So you're saying, hey, right, Everybody's a part of this.
We have a young group. And one dynamic in our room is I think the young players are actually really well respected because they've done it right. There's no wait your turn from the veterans. I think the veterans in part have been really good at allowing us to be a young team and letting them let their personalities come out a little bit without that tamping down that kind of some happens to the kid. He's got to get on the elevator last and all those other things that the rookies have to do. I think maybe that's still there, but it's also a function of, you know, the three younger players that are Scheifele, Trouba, and now Lowry. They're not sitting on the fourth line. You know, they're key pieces to our group. So they have, by virtue of their roles alone, they have a voice in our room, and we encourage everyone to use that.